Welcome to 2&2 Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, Westerns. Later on, it's Frontier Town from 1949. But first, a broadcast of Have Gun, Will Travel, called The Search for Wiley Dawson. This was first heard on CBS on June 12, 1960.
No one can change what's happened in the past. But maybe I can do something to make up for it, to help you get a new start.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh, hey, boy.
Hello, Mr. Paladin.
What? Hey, boy. What happened? Where'd you get that black eye?
Hey, boy, have fight.
Oh, Hop Sing?
Yes, sir.
He was bullying you again?
Yes, sir. Remember that book a boy showed you? What Confucius say? Remember that thing you say? Good advice?
Yes, I remember. If a man does not resent slight injustices, he will soon be called upon to face giant wrongs.
Yes, sir. So, hey boy decide to resent injustice. Show Hop Sing. Yes, sir. Hey boy get beat up.
Well, hey, boy, I was reading through that book, and do you know what else Confucius said? Do not glory in your strength. There is always a stronger.
See, Confucius have an answer for everything.
Yes, he does. Well, do you suppose you have the strength to carry out these bags for me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, where you going, Mr. Paladin?
I'm going to El Paso, hey, boy. While I'm gone, you heed this advice. Discretion is the better part of valor. So, stay out of Hop Sing's way. It was early in the morning when I arrived in El Paso. I checked into a hotel, had breakfast, then walked two blocks to a small building. Painted on the glass front door was Melvin B. McCleary, attorney at law. When I first knew Mel McCleary, he was a prosecuting attorney for the state and a good man with a deep and abiding respect for the law. I hadn't seen him since he'd hung out his own shingle.
Paladin!
Hey, Mel!
Paladin,
hey.
I knew you'd come. It's good to see you.
How are you, Mel? It's been a long time.
Sit down, sit down.
Sure, thanks. Well, that's a nice setup you have here. How's it going, having your own practice?
Good, good, very good. I'm so busy right now that I can't even take the time to clear my own conscience. That's why I sent for you.
Oh, I can't imagine your conscience carrying a load that would present much of a problem.
Hmm. You remember a fellow named Wiley Dawson?
Dawson? No.
Well, you have to go back a few years. It was my first case as prosecutor in Texas. You were here at the time.
Oh, sure, of course. He was a sheriff, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I remember.
Charged with the holdup of a Wells Fargo office and the murder of a guard.
That's right.
If you recall, the outcome of that trial was that Dawson was sentenced to life imprisonment.
Yeah.
He served 3 years in Huntsville and escaped.
Well, I didn't know that.
I felt cheated. I saw to it that the law kept after him, always after him. But he always managed to stay just one jump ahead.
Never captured him.
No, he's been a fugitive for 2 years now, living like a hunted animal. Well, a month ago, a man made a full confession to that holdup. Dawson has been completely exonerated.
Oh. I guess I can understand how you feel, Mel.
It hasn't been pleasant living with myself this past month.
Well, you only did your job.
Whatever. But he's got to be found, Paladin. Somehow I must find a way to try to make amends. I need your help.
All right, Mel. Where do I start looking?
Thank you, Paladin. Well, there's been no word on him for several months. But there is a woman. From down Chinati way across the border. I've heard she may know something. You might start there. Her name is Maria. That's all I know.
I followed the Rio Grande River south and crossed the border into the town of Chinati. It was hot, dry, and dusty. At one end of the only street was a cathedral, at the other end a cantina with not much in between. I headed for the cantina. It was empty, except for the fat bartender and the even fatter flies.
Hello, senor.
Yeah, whiskey American.
I see. Whiskey American.
Yeah.
It's a nice day, no?
No. Is there a hotel in this town?
No, senor.
Is there a restaurant, someplace to eat? Tengo hambre.
Ah, sí, senor. You can eat.
Eat, yeah.
Tierosos. Muy bueno.
Where is it?
It's out there, that way. Una casita. You can find.
Thanks. What's your name?
Esteban.
Esteban, do you know a man named Wiley Dawson?
No sabe.
Wiley Dawson.
No sabe.
You know his girlfriend? Her name's Maria. You know where I can find her?
No sabe.
Look, Esteban, I come as a friend to Senor Dawson. I have a very important message for him.
Don't know him. Don't know nothing.
Believe me, he'll be glad to see me. Yeah, well, I don't know how to convince you, but sometimes this can be pretty convincing.
See?
Not so fast. Wiley Dawson, you know him?
Senor, not for all the gold you could stack from here to here, could I tell you that?
Look, if he shows up this afternoon, I'll be at Tia Rosa's. Tia Rosa's was about a half mile from the cantina, a small adobe hut set in the middle of nothing. The food was not muy bueno, but it was filling, and the specialty of the house, as far as I was concerned, was a dirt-floored patio that boasted a large cottonwood tree. After eating, I laid down in the blessed shade and promptly fell asleep. My awakening was a rude one. I was lifted to my feet by the front of my shirt, and a fist drove into my chin. Hey, you.
Come here.
Oh, no, wait. Look.
That's from Wiley Dawson, mister. I promised myself that the next one that came along was going to get it. That's you.
Come here. Huh?
No, stop.
There's lots of hate behind that fist, mister. You, all of you, dogging my trail, hounding me. I've had enough. I'm not running anymore, see?
Come here.
Lucy, if anyone phones me tonight, I'm not home.
Oh, dear, all week you've been coming home like this, cross and tired.
If you'd had my nagging backache with restless, sleepless nights, you'd feel worn out, too.
But why just complain of backache? Do something.
What?
Try Doane's pills.
Right. Doane's pills are an analgesic and mild diuretic to the kidneys. Nagging backache, also headache, dizziness, and muscular aches and pains, may come on with overexertion, emotional upsets, or everyday stress and strain. Doane's pain-relieving action is often the answer, and they also offer mild diuretic action through the kidneys. So if nagging backache is making you feel worn out, tired, and miserable, with restless, sleepless nights, don't wait. Try Doane's pills, used successfully by millions for over 60 years. See if they don't bring you the same welcome relief. Get Doane's pills today. To save money, buy Doane's big economy size.
Oh,
At last you open your eyes.
Hmm. Well, what do you know? Where did you come from?
I am Maria. The old woman, Tia Rosa, is my grandmother.
Maria? You Wiley Dawson's girl?
I am Wiley Dawson's wife.
His wife? Where's Dawson?
He had to go. Some men came from him. There was a big hurry. Please, senor, you make yourself able to leave here before he gets back.
Miss Dawson, I have to talk to you. Did your husband think I was the law?
Is that not right? You are.
No, no, no. I came to bring him word that he doesn't have to run away from the law anymore. He's a free man.
What is this you say?
Another man has confessed to the crime that he was charged with. A terrible wrong has been done to your husband, Maria.
You sit there, senor. And you say terrible wrong. You don't know how terrible.
I can guess.
We marry when Wiley have escaped from prison. We go to Kansas and homestead. But comes law. We run. Wiley work in mine in Arizona. Law come, we run. Run, run, always run. Because of something another man do.
No one can do anything about the past, Maria, but maybe something can be done to make up for it, to help you get a new start.
It is too late, senor.
What do you mean?
My husband tried to do what is right. But, senor, only so much a man can hold. How you say? You have the name, just as good to have the game. My husband has now joined with El Bandido Paco.
Paco?
Si.
How long ago did he throw in with Paco?
Only last week. They meet and they talk in the cantino.
Well, the way Paco hates gringos, he must have some good reason for taking your husband in. Probably a job he is planning where he'll need him. Is he with Paco now?
Si. Paco's men come. They ride to camp this instante.
And do you know the trail to this camp?
I have seen it, yes.
Well, come on, show me. I'm going up there.
No. No, senor. No one goes to Paco's camp. Unless Paco says so.
Maria, I have a job to do to find Wiley Dawson, deliver the message to him that he's a free man, and take him back to El Paso, where he'll be helped to make a new life. But none of that will matter unless I can get to him before he starts out with Paco and really commits a crime.
Si. I understand.
Huh?
Pare. Stop here.
Oh, no. Is this it?
Up ahead. That trail.
Up through those rocks there?
Si. Senor, there is a rifle behind every bush.
Now, they're riflemen. Would they shoot to kill or just take me prisoner?
Take you prisoner, of course. To have the pleasure to torture the gringo. Believe me, Senor Paladin. You should not go up there.
Look, Maria, will you take this? It's my card. Now, I've written a name on the back of it, the name of a man in El Paso. If I'm, if I'm detained, see if you could get in touch with him, will you?
Yes. You are a foolish man. But que Dios te bendiga.
Thank you. All right, now you go back, Maria.
Adios.
All right, boy. Come on. Come on. Pick up your feet. Come on.
Alto! Hey. Alto! Lele!
My name is Paladin.
Gringo! Venga acá! Gringo! Pronto!
Munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips. It's not polite to smack your lips, but you can't help it with Fritos, corn chips. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips.
That's right, Fritos, corn chips.
so crisp and light, there's contentment in every munch. Serve them at outdoor parties, as a snack, or with dips. Fritos corn chips are so good with cold drinks, everyone will want to munch a bunch. Fritos have a flavor no other kind of chip can match.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos corn chips.
Fritos are golden chips of corn just made to munch. Keep Fritos corn chips on hand for the perfect warm weather between meal treat. Tuck a bag in every lunch, picnic, or otherwise. Serve them with sandwiches, salads, all summer meals. Fritos corn chips are full of good, crisp, refreshing flavor. F-R-I-T-O-S, Fritos corn chips.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos corn chips.
Rifles were trained on me from all sides as I was led up the trail. Pato's camp was in a wide valley that lay on the other side of the steep cliff. There were many untidy rows of jacales, thatch-roofed huts. And in front of the biggest one, squatting on the ground in a circle, were a bunch of the meanest-looking men I've ever seen, and Wiley Dawson. Horses were standing nearby, saddled and ready.
Andale, gringo.
Yeah.
Hey, Paco. Nosotros encontrábamos este gringo en la vereda. ¿Qué quiere? What do you want, gringo?
I come to talk to Wiley Dawson.
You. Look, didn't you have enough?
Dawson, who is this man?
The law, Paco.
I am not the law.
Candid Chinati after me. I knocked him around some. I should have killed him.
Dawson, will you listen to me? You don't have to run from the law anymore. A man confessed to the crime you were charged with. You're a free man.
Oh, it's a trick, Mr. Dawson. These gringos from the law have many tricks.
Sure, it's a trick. They've used just about every one in the book to try to get
Dawson,
you.
Listen.
You listen, lawman. 5 years ago, I was convicted of robbing a Wells Fargo office and killing a guard. I didn't do it. You want to know where I'm going now? I'm going into El Paso, and I am going to rob that Wells Fargo office, and if a guard gets in my way, I'll kill him.
Don't do it.
Come on, Dawson, we must go. You, gringo, lawman. We save you for when we get back. Then we have a sport. We feed you to ants. Vámonos, señores. Pancho, tie up this gringo lawman. We save him for later.
The men mounted the horses and rode off. Then, at the point of a rifle, I was prodded into one of the huts and my hands and feet were tied. Sometime later, I began to consider that perhaps I was too conscientious about my work. When I heard the commotion outside.
Senor Paredes.
Huh? Maria.
I was at the bottom of the trail. I saw the men right away, my husband with. Senor, he does not belong with those bandidos.
Of course he doesn't. What's going on out there?
There are not many men left in camp. I see that they're busy. I set fire to the jacales at the far end. Here, let me untie your hands.
Yeah. Well, how did you get by the trail guards?
With a lie. I say I'm on errand for my husband.
Maybe it wasn't a lie, Maria. Maybe I can still stop him. Can you get me a gun?
I think so. Yeah. There, your hands are free.
Thanks. Now I'll get these ropes around my ankles.
Senor, what can you do against all of those Paco's bandidos?
Paco's bandidos won't dare ride into El Paso. They'll stay at a safe distance. It'll be Dawson and maybe a couple of Paco's men, one that he feels he can afford to lose. There we are.
Your horse is still out there.
Good. I'll look out and see if it's clear.
There's no one.
How's the fire?
It does very well.
Yeah, it's spreading. I believe it's even drawn the trail guards. Well, let's go, Maria. It was a long ride and a hard one. And I knew I was making good time, but it wasn't good enough. When I reached El Paso, there were gunshots coming from the Wells Fargo office. And by the time I dismounted and went inside, the safe had been blasted open and the guard lay on the floor with a bullet in him. Hey.
Bandits robbed safe.
Who shot you?
Little Mexican. Mexican bandit.
Which way they go?
Out the back.
All right. You'll be all right. I'm going after them. Hey, you. Stop. Dawson. Hold it. Yeah. Dawson.
Looks like you win, lawman. You're a persistent cuss.
You're a stubborn one. I am not a lawman.
It doesn't matter. But I want you to know I didn't shoot that guard.
I know. He told me who it was. He can testify for you. Oh, he'll be all right. But your compañeros are dead.
Maybe better if I were.
Ah, nonsense. Dawson.
What?
I'll take the stand for you, too. And there's a lawyer I know, the best in the state. He feels he owes you a lot.
What are you talking about?
You'll see. Ah, we better get that shoulder fixed up. Come in.
Oh,
oh, Miss
Wong. Hello, Mr. Bonnet. Glad to see you back.
Well.
All right, I clean the room now.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I've been waiting for you, Miss Wong. Oh. Oh, wait. Wait now. Remember what you wanted me to bring you from Mexico? Look.
Oh, he's a polydon, big hat.
The sombrero,
oh,
Miss Wong.
Mr. Paladin. Here, let me put him on. Oh, there.
Oh, now, well, it's lovely,
oh,
Miss Wong.
Yes,
but why anyone in San Francisco should want one of those is beyond me.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, rain all the time in San Francisco. Big hat keep rain off of me.
Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And because it's light, it refreshes without filling.
Charlie, be sociable.
I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida.
Charlie.
It's perfect for parties or picnics, so serve Pepsi to your guests.
That's helpful, but...
This is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice-cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Singing still sounds more inviting. May I?
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
But singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
You do that.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Bartlett Robinson, Jack Edwards, Don Diamond, and Peggy Weber. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 12th of June, 1960, on CBS. That episode penned by radio writer Ann Dowd. She was part of the stable of writers of Have Gun, Will Travel, adapting or writing fresh around 45 broadcasts for the series. I say adapting because many of them originated on television, one of the very few radio shows to have its inception on the small screen. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Frontier Town with an episode called The Chase from October 29th, 1949.
Frontier Town, the saga of the Roaring West. Frontier Town. El Paso, Cheyenne, Calgary, Tombstone.
Frontier Town. Here is the adventurous story of the early West, the tamed and the untamed. From the Pecos to Powder River, Dodge City to Poker Flat, these are the towns they fought to live in and lived to fight for. Teeming crucibles of pioneer freedom. Frontier Town!
Howdy, the name's Chad Remington. The hometown is Dos Rios. And the occupation? Well, some folks call me a frontier town lawyer. But between us, even though I do have a law office, the very nature of the frontier and the people who populate it makes my occupation troubleshooter, with the accent on both words. Want me to prove it? Well, let's take the case of a gent known as Simran Whitey. Now, there was a time when the mere mention of the name Simran Whitey would have spread terror throughout the frontier, because Whitey was one of the most daring desperados of his time. But today, well, to be factual, let's say 4 weeks ago, Simran Whitey was a sick old man, slowly dying in a cell in the Archuleta County Jail. In fact, Whitey's cellmate, Tex Cleaver, was sure the old man was dying as he watched him laboriously working over a crudely drawn map.
What's that you got there, Whitey? You've been working on that thing most all day.
Prison sawbones tells me I'll be cashing in my chips any time now, Tex. That part don't worry me none. But I once done a person, a woman, a dreadful injustice. And I'm hoping before I kick off I'll be able to straighten things out for her.
Well, you still ain't told me what those hen tracks are that you've drawn there, Whitey.
It's a map, Tex. A map that'll show where $80,000 is buried.
Did you say $80,000?
Yeah. It's the money I stole from a gambling place in a bonanza town right close to Stampede years ago. And I'm sending this map to the woman who was cashier of the place, so she can return it to the folks it belongs to, if they're still alive.
Now, Whitey, you and me have shared this same cell for 3 years now, and I've done a lot of things for you. Now, instead of sending this map to some old woman who probably ain't even alive, why don't you...
There ain't no use wasting your breath on no song and dance, Tex. No one's getting that map but Blanche McCarty.
Why, you ungrateful old... Now we'll see who gets that map. And if I can get past that stupid turnkey, that $80,000 is gonna be all mine.
How did you get out, Tex? Last I heard of you, they give you 10 years.
Well, I'll tell you, Bat. I didn't like their grub, so I had my butler pack my bags, and I left their crummy old jail.
Oh, so you're on the dodge, huh?
Yeah.
Well, if it's all the same to you, Cleaver, I don't want you or your kind hanging around my place.
Now, wait a minute.
Nesbitt's right, Tex. We don't want the law trailing you here. What you've done is your business, but we ain't going to get mixed up in it.
Now, will you, Jaspers, wait? Now, if you two will hide me out, I'll cut you in on something that'll put you on Easy Street for the rest of your lives.
I got an oil painting of you putting me on Easy Street.
You ever hear of Simran Whitey?
I ain't heard of him for years. Best I remember, he got sent away for sticking up a gambling joint and getting away with $80,000.
Simran Whitey ain't got nothing to do with me. And I don't want you hanging around here.
Well, that's all right with me, Nesbitt. But I got a map Whitey drew showing where that $80,000 is cashed.
I don't care if you... You what?
Yeah, that's why I busted out. I got the map, and I'm on my way to get the money.
Come on, Tex. Let's go into my private office. There are too many people with long ears out here. And I want to hear your story about Simlin Whitey.
Well, that's about the whole story, Nesbitt. Whitey drew the map, and I got it.
Yeah? Well, if you want Bat and me to hide you out, we want to see that map.
Nothing doing.
Don't be loco, Tex. We got to be sure you got that map.
Not on your tintype. You'll see that map after I see where you're going to hide me out.
That's what I thought. You ain't got no map. Bat, your friend here is nothing but an out-and-out liar.
You can't make me, Sir Nesbitt. Not while I got this map. You can call me anything you want.
Why, you...
Hold it, Bat. Maybe Tex is right.
Huh? Why, you just...
He talks confident enough to convince me. If he's running a bluff, we'll find out soon enough.
I ain't bluffing.
Look, Tex, I got a room upstairs where I got a bed I stretch out on when I get tired and can't go home. You go up and stay there until we're ready to leave tonight. Then Bat and me will hide you out of my place.
Good enough, Nesbitt.
Go on outside. There's a little staircase running upstairs right behind the bar. Bat and me will be up later and wake you.
Fine. And I'm giving it to you straight. We'll all have enough money to be on Easy Street before the week's over.
You think he's got that map, Nesbitt?
I don't know, Bat. But you're going to find out.
Huh? I'm going to find out.
Cleaver's knocked out, dead for sleep. Once he gets upstairs and falls on that bed, he'll be snoring inside of 5 minutes.
Yeah, so?
So? You go up after him in a little while and see if he's got that map on him or not.
What if he wakes up, though?
Well, what if he wakes up? You're wearing a gun, ain't you?
I sure am wearing a gun, but I'm blamed if I'm using it on Tex Cleaver.
Oh. Well, I say you are.
And I say I'm not.
At last, you get upstairs and do as you're told.
Well, who do you think you are giving me orders?
I'll show you who I am mighty fast.
Why, you four-flushing bag of wind. Go on, go for your gun. You couldn't hit...
Well, if there really is a map, Bat ain't gonna have no part of it. It's gonna be mine and no one else's.
That map spelled trouble, and the trouble led right to my doorstep. Once the prison warden found out what happened, and knowing that Simran Whitey had only days at most to live, he arranged his parole. And needing help, Whitey dragged himself cross-country and up to my office just in time to interrupt a game of euchre I was playing with the ex-medicine man, Cherokee O'Bannon, to keep his mind off what he calls drinking liquor. Worn and weary, the man who had plagued the whole Simran country was barely able to gasp out his story.
You see, I was in love with Blanche McCarthy. When she turned me down, I got sore. So I held up the place where she worked as cashier.
But if she didn't own the place, how could that hurt her?
Everybody for miles around knew I was in love with her, Cherokee. So naturally, they thought she was in on the robbery with me. I figured it would ruin her life. And it did.
In other words, now that you've ruined her life, you've relented and you want to see that she has the map so that you can get the money back and prove that she had nothing to do with it.
That's about the size of it, Remington.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago. Why do all this now?
Because I didn't know until about a week ago that Blanche is still alive. A fellow I knew in the old days wrote and told me he'd see her. She's living in an old nester's cabin up in the Rockies north of Stampede.
Well, everything would have been all right if Tex Cleaver hadn't slugged you and the guard and broken jail with a map.
That's the truth. I would have mailed the map to Blanche days ago.
Whitey, as a lawyer, there isn't anything I can do for you.
You mean that?
But as a man, I'm telling you that Cherokee and I are going to find Tex Cleaver's trail. And with your help, run him to earth before he gets his murdering hands on that $80,000.
It's all coming back to me, Chad. That stampede just over the rise of the next hill.
Too blasted bad Cleaver got as many days head start as he did.
Well, knowing that every lawman in this part of the country will be looking for him, if he has the brains I give him credit for, he'll lay low for a spell.
Chad, those shots came from dead ahead of us.
Come on, Whitey, prod up that pony.
Yeah.
See, Chad? Two men.
Yeah. One's been gunned down, and the other's searching his clothes for something. Put that gun down, you bushwhacking... All right, if that's the way you want to play.
You dropped him, Chad.
Oh, look, he's getting up and hitting his horse. He's getting away.
Let him go for now. With that tan and yellow calfskin vest and that white San Fran Stetson, if we ever see him again, we'll know him. Right now, we'd better get over there and see what we can do for the fellow who's been shot.
Oh, boy.
Chad, that's him. Tex Cleaver.
He's as full of holes now as an accordion.
Look, his jacket's almost ripped off, and so is his shirt.
Somebody wanted that map and wanted it bad, and I guess he got it.
He got it? Who's he, Chad?
That fella in the calfskin vest who just ran off. Now, you see there, one of Cleaver's boots is off. I'll bet you that $80,000 and 10 cents more, that's where Cleaver hid the map he stole from you, Whitey, in his boot.
Poor Jasper. But he's lucky at that. Breaking out, I'm surprised one of the prison guards didn't hit him.
Well, we're not getting any play standing here.
I guess the best thing to do is to pick him up and take him into town.
No, not this time, Cherokee. We'll tell the sheriff about it. Right now, we've got a trail to follow and a murderer to trap.
This is just a hunch, Chad. But once we get to town, I want to go in and see a fella called Nesbitt, if he's still around. If he hasn't changed any, he knows every owl, hoot, and gunslinger around here.
Now, what is it you want me to do, Nesbitt?
Just help me dig this money out where it shows on the map. And believe me, I wouldn't be cutting you in if I didn't have this slug on my shoulder that I got this afternoon after I caught up with Cleaver.
What's the deal? How do we split it up?
Why, 50-50, of course.
You know something, Nesbitt? You better make sure it's 50-50.
What are you talking about? I never waltzed on nobody.
Yeah? Well, I haven't seen Bat around today.
Bat? Why, Bat. Bat went up to Leadville. Yeah, I sent Bat up to Leadville on some business.
Leadville. Maybe you are right, mister. Leadville may be a good name for where Bat went. Now, look. I don't know what happened to Bat, and I don't care much. But I do know that if I help you dig out this money and you try to cross me up, you'll be going to Leadville, too. You'll be so full of lead, maybe they'll name you Leadville.
Confound you, Chuck. You can't come in here threatening me.
Nesbitt, Chuck, there's someone outside the window.
Who was it, Chuck? Who was at the window?
I don't know, but I'm blamed well going to find out.
Nobody here now.
Maybe. Maybe you were just seeing things, Chuck.
I sure was seeing things. Since I generally hit what I see, whoever was outside that window is probably headed for the doctor's right now. Or maybe even the undertaker's.
Of course, we were fools. We were the only people who didn't need the map to find the cache of hidden money. But as Chuck had told Nesbitt, whatever he saw, he hit. And poor old Whitey came back with one hole right through his thigh. Knowing that if we took him to a doctor's, all our plans might be ruined once the news got out, we hustled Whitey up country and made him comfortable on a bed of moss and boughs. He was weaker than ever, but with the heart of a mountain lion, Simran Whitey hung on.
Nesbitt's got the map all right, Chad. And likely enough, him and that gunslinger are on their way up into the hills now.
As long as Whitey seems to be holding his own, Chad, why don't we get the directions from him and see if we can't beat Nesbitt to the money?
Can you tell us how to get to the place where you hid the money, Whitey?
About 5-6 miles up that way, there's a little canyon full of cottonwoods and quakies. Turn left there.
Uh-huh.
About a mile down the draw, there ought to be a cabin. If it's not there no more, you'll have to see if you can find out where it used to be. Because exactly halfway between the house and the old corral is where I buried the strong box.
We'll find it, Whitey. Come on, Chad.
Just a minute, Cherokee. I want you to give Whitey your carbine. Just in case.
I don't reckon I'll be needing no rifle.
I hope not, Whitey. because you're out on parole. And if you do manage to live and they find that you fired a gun, you'll be back in prison so fast it'll make your head swim. All right, Cherokee, let's go.
Well, this is the cabin, Chuck. Blasted. My shoulder's killing me. You get the pick and shovel off your horse while I try to locate the place on this map.
You bet, Miss, but I'll get the tools.
It's a good thing that cabin's still there and the corral. This must be just about the spot Whitey marked on the map.
Here you are, Nesbitt. I'll start digging while you rest your shoulder. But you better keep your gun handy, just in case.
If anyone even tries to follow us, they won't get very far. That's why I posted Lefty down at the mouth of the canyon. All right, Chuck, start digging. I can hardly wait to see the color of that $80,000.
Look, Chad, there's a canyon full of cottonwoods and quakies right ahead of us.
Too bad we couldn't have gotten up here in the daylight. With no moon, we're going to have a devil's own time trying to find that cabin and...
Cherokee, off your horse quick and play dead.
Well, now, I don't see how one bullet could have gotten them both,
and
but...
you're not going to see much of anything else after I get through with you.
Why, you double-dealing sneak.
Chad, look out. You're right against the rim of the canyon. Chad!
Stupid ape. He must have rolled right down to the bottom.
Who do you think it was, Chad? Someone else who was after the money that Whitey buried?
I'm sure I don't know. The only thing I know for sure is what we've got to do is get back to our horses and pray that we find that cabin before it's too late.
Sure ain't struck nothing yet, Nesbitt.
It's got to be there somewhere, Chuck. It's the exact spot that shows on the map old Simmer and Whitey drew.
Swinging this pickaxe is no cinch. And I'm getting tired.
What are you men doing here on my property?
Who are you?
I thought I recognized that voice. Ain't you Nesbitt from down in Stampede?
Yeah, I'm Nesbitt, but I don't know who... Well, I'll be jiggered. Blanche McCarty.
Who's Blanche McCarty?
The dame. The cashier who was in on the robbery with Whitey. So you're looking for it too, huh, Blanche? Well, you ain't gonna get it.
What are you talking about? Looking for what?
Look, you old bag of bones, it ain't gonna do you any good to play dumb.
I'm telling you I don't know what you're talking about. And what's more, this is my place, and I'm telling you to get off it.
Chuck, get behind her and let her have it with a shovel.
What's that? What'd you say?
Why, I just telling my friend here... that being in with Simmer and Whitey, you've probably got the dinero already.
I wasn't in with him. I had nothing to do with that robbery, and I...
Nice going, Chuck.
What do you want to do? Finish her off?
You loco or something. Pull trigger up here, and if anybody hears it, we'll never get that money. No. We'll tie her up and drag her up to her cabin. There's probably a closet there where we can hide her till we're through up here. And then we'll be in the clear. Come on.
Billy Blue Blazes, Chad, how much further can this cabin be?
I wish I knew, Cherokee. After 20 years, Whitey's memory of what a mile might be certainly isn't too trustworthy. Only one thing to do, just keep knocking on these horses and hope we get there in time.
I don't believe he buried no dough here. I think it's...
What's that? Your shovel just hit something.
Yeah. It did, Nesbitt. It's a metal strongbox that shows your foot high.
Well, get it out, Chuck. Hurry.
Yeah. There.
Come on, Chuck. Don't be so doggone slow.
There. I reckon I can lift it out now. Come on. Out you come. That thing is heavy.
Let's take it into Blanche's house where we can see. Yeah,
good idea. And don't forget, Nesbitt, we're splitting this 50-50.
Sure we are. Put the box on that table, Chuck.
to look inside the box. I think that's got it. Look at them greenbacks. It must be all I need here for the rest of my life.
But a dead man won't have no use for money, Chuck.
Hey, what?
And in a couple of seconds, that's what you're going to be.
Why, you double-crosser!
Hold it. Don't move, either one of you. All right, come on, Cherokee. Get in through the window while I cover you.
Right, Dad.
Nesbitt. Nesbitt, the one with the gun's a lawyer. Come on, shoot at the lamp. Chuck, let's get out of here.
Throw some lead, Nesbitt. They're coming after us.
Chad, when that lamp broke, it set fire to this place.
Grab that strong box and get it outside quick.
Someone's banging on that closet door, Chad.
They must have locked somebody in this closet. Here, give me a hand.
But the money!
Good Lord, let that go for now. Come on, lay under this door.
Merciful providence, Chad. Look, it's an old woman.
All right. Help me get her out of here. Then we'll come back for the money if it isn't burned up.
All right, Chuck, this is far enough.
You double-crossing weasel. I got a good mind to bash your brains in.
You nitwit. Didn't you know I was just playing a joke on you inside? I wouldn't have shot you no more than I would have shot the old lady. It would have brought too many people around.
A lot of good that'll do us now. With them two in there.
We're taking care of them two. With that cabin burning all around them, they can't stay in there much longer. And when they come out, with the flames behind them, they'll look like clay pipes in a shooting gallery.
Yeah, they sure will. And Mr. Nesbitt, you better not miss.
Here they come now.
Open this way, Cherokee. Away from the sparks.
You ready, Nesbitt?
I sure am. And this is the end of the...
Nesbitt, what happened? Where the devil did you...
Cherokee, there's someone out here.
I wonder who threw those two shots.
Well, I'll be blamed. Here are the two polecats who set fire to the cabin, and they're as dead as doornails.
From the looks of them with their guns out and cocked, I'd say they were about to get us. I'd sure like to know who shot them.
Wait a minute. Here comes someone now.
Chad!
By the whiskers of the prophets, do you see who it is? Simmering Whitey.
Chad, here's the carbine you loaned me. I broke my parole. Don't tell Warden that I...
Chad, is he... Is he...
He's gone, Cherokee. But he saved our bacon. Poor old Whitey. He was tough and bad, but he was one of the best of them. He died with his boots on. I know that riding double is no particular pleasure, but are you comfortable, Mrs. McCarty?
It's Miss McCarty, if you please.
Hey, when I see her eyes flash like that, Chad, I can see why Whitey fell in love with her 20 years ago.
And I can see why Whitey was still in love with her. Too bad that he ended the way he did.
Oh, it isn't really. Now, I don't mean that Whitey wasn't a wild one and deserved to die that way. I just mean that... Well, if he came back to get me, there wouldn't have been much happiness for either one of us.
I guess you're right, Blanche. His number was up weeks ago.
You pardon my curiosity. Just what were you planning to do with that 80,000, ma'am? Or miss, as the case may be.
I don't know. Billy Fellers owned the place Whitey stuck up's been dead for years now. Can't give it back to him.
Well, then, why don't you take it and buy yourself some Paris clothes, get all fixed up, and enjoy life for a change.
Chad, do you realize what you're saying? Now, if Miss McCarthy would care to invest a few $1,000 in my genuine Indian rattlesnake oil, I could promise her...
Oh, no, I won't. I've run up against you medicine men before. No, I've lived my life. Can't change it now, but there's a lot of folks around Stampede who could use that money. Maybe I'll see that they get it. Yeah, maybe I will.
Well, Cherokee, are you going to let that money go just as easy as all that?
My boy, when I come face to face with someone like Blanche here, someone who's real folks, All the chicanery and that sharp little brain of mine seems to melt away and form a big lump in my throat. Hey, I must be getting old. Better get back to town before I get any older. Get up there! Get up!
Frontier Town, starring Reed Hadley and featuring Wade Crosby, is a Bruce Ells production. Story and direction by Paul Franklin. Music written and played by Ivan Ditmars. Be sure to be with us again same time next week for another action-adventure story with your favorite young Western star, Reed Hadley. And now this is Bill Forman telling you that Frontier Town comes to you from Hollywood.
Frontier Town, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated episode from October 29th, 1949, bringing to a close this hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for listening.